Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa and I am here with Allison. Hey Allison.
Hey everyone.
So today we're going to be talking about home remedies because of course I have some. So I want to share some of those with you today. We're going to be talking about very common ailments that you could possibly treat at home. But before we get started, what are we drinking today?
So as always, we start with our cocktail and we are doing today a hot toddy, which I thought was fitting considering we're talking about home remedies and it's typically used as sort of a treatment for the cold. So my favorite is a hot toddy with a little bit of spices. So I'll get into exactly why.
I hate spices.
I know. And I keep on serving things you don't like. One day I'll serve something one day.
And just for clarity, not like spices in life, but like what are these kind of spices called? Like
they're like festive.
Festive spices.
I don't think that's what they're called. That's what I'm calling them.
Okay, like the nutmegs, the cinnamons, the whatever. And there is a giant cinnamon stick in this.
There is. It's so good. It smells like fall. But it feels like fall, so it only feels appropriate.
Fair, fair.
All right, so a bit of history lesson on the hot toddy. Bear with me for a minute. So traditionally, they're served during like cold or wet weather, and it's supposed to help you fight off the cold. But it evolved to more of a preventative measure, which it, drinking is a preventative measure. What's not to like?
Fair.
Can you look past the cinnamon?
Numb the pain.
Numb the pain. So it actually originated in Scotland, and it got its name from the Todd's Well in Edinburgh, where they would source the water for hot toddies. But today, there's like 100 different ways to make a hot toddy. If as many bartenders as there are the number of hot toddy recipes out there. And so this is mine.
You go on a hot toddy bar tour?
I bet you could.
Like a ski lodge or something?
That sounds so nice.
Oh, that's a thing. We're making this a thing.
We're going to...
Done.
Next lady camp.
Done.
So there are a few like typical components in a hot toddy. It's whiskey, hot water, honey, and lemon. And the way that they say it is it's vitamin C for health, honey to soothe, and whiskey to numb, which I love.
I like it.
And tea and spices are typically added for extra flavor. So for ours, I kept it relatively traditional, but I made it an apple cinnamon hot toddy. And what it is I, on the stove, I boiled hot water, diced apples, cinnamon, maple syrup, and the cinnamon stick. And then once that had boiled, I added the tea and let it steep for just a couple minutes. And I used a black tea. And then I did, in each of us, we have an ounce of the whiskey. I just used like your basic whiskey. And then added a little bit of lemon.
Tell them what else we added.
So we decided that it was good, but it needed a little oomph. So our hot toddy is actually a champagne cocktail. We added Prosecco.
You would think it would be gross, but it's diluting the spices.
So
it's tasting more like Prosecco. It's delicious.
It's kind of nice. It was like a very apple-y Prosecco.
Yeah, it's got like a nice bubble to it. And I like it.
I like it. So cheers to home remedies.
Cheers. So before we get into the topic, I want to make sure that we do kind of our disclaimer and say that, you know, nothing we say on the show takes the place of any advice that you get from a medical professional or treatment you're supposed to be getting from a medical professional. These are just meant to be kind of practical methods of things that you have at home for very basic things.
Yeah.
So, you know, try this at home, but don't if you shouldn't,
yeah.
I guess.
Go to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor. Yeah. That's fair.
We are not doctors. That is our general disclaimer. Not doctors.
So, Allison, I'm interested. Like, what's your experience with home remedies? Like, how much do you go to a home remedy rather than, like, the medicine cabinet?
So I would say it varies. So we grew up with my mom who – we always called her Dr. Butler, Doctor Without Degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would always have like some idea of ways we could heal things to the extent that she used to super glue things that we probably should have gone and got stitches for. No. But it's effective. And now if you go to the emergency room, they like use some kind of like.
Is she still that way?
Oh, yeah.
Does she have ideas like that about Claire?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, I'm not super glued Claire
okay.
at all. But I guess for me, I'll try things like a steam bath to loosen mm-hmm. congestion in our chests if we have like a cough or something.
Okay.
I'll do things like a hot toddy or just like, for me, a hot bath helps me if I'm starting to
feel
sick.
It makes you feel, like, and I say for me, a hot shower, like, makes me feel new.
Yes, it totally does. But that's kind of the extent of it. Like, if
okay.
I usually just power through, and that's
You just
awful.
Deal. So you don't necessarily run to the doctor. You just don't necessarily reach for something more natural or, like, come up with some kind of concoction to... For whatever it is.
I'm either, like, we either feel like we need to go to the doctor or I do nothing. And there's, like, there's got to be something in between.
There's some things in between.
So, clearly, you are big on the home remedies. So, I'm excited to hear about some things
that I am.
Work.
So, I come from a Russian family. And as many superstitions as we have home remedies. So, I literally, like, that... my big fat Greek wedding kind of concept where they put Windex on everything. Like, my grandmother and mom have a thing that I can put on everything, right? Or some natural something I can take, which is cool because it's usually a natural thing. But some are super bizarre.
No Windex, though. You strictly
remember. We do not use the Windex. No, that is not part of it. So it's funny that, like, we've got this hot toddy and we brought up this idea of the cold. So, and before we even dive in, like why home remedies for me and why I think more people are going to home remedies is, I mean, it's cheap. It's usually stuff that you have at home. And we know that conventional medicine costs are continuing to rise. So people are starting to gravitate there a little bit more. Also, people are more health conscious and they aren't, you know, there's things now about like don't take too much antibiotic or this and that. So people are kind of just gravitating to that idea a little bit more.
And this, like, is the get ahead of it sort of thing, that almost that preventative measure?
In some cases. Okay. In some cases, it can be something that you can use to, I don't want to say cure. Like, nothing's a magic cure, but it can help with something that you might already have. It's often convenient. A lot of the things that I'm going to talk about today, you have at home because they're home staples. You don't have to go get something special. So it's almost kind of like a why not. Again, it's healthier and people are gravitating to that more. And I will also just say again, like, it's not meant to be – these things are not meant to be to go against a doctor's wishes. They're not meant to be something risky to try. Like, they're safe and practical and kind of why not type of things because it might get rid of something a little bit quicker. So back to the idea of the cold because so many things for the cold.
And I feel like I get – no matter what, if there's a change in temperature, I'm going to get a cold. Or at least somebody in the family is going to have that sore throat, the runny nose.
I have all the things for you.
Yes.
Okay, so I kind of want to know before I tell you what some of these things are. So in the topic of a common cold, what do you do when you have a cough?
When I have a cough. Okay.
Yeah.
So a cough, I would probably do tea. Like even a hot toddy, but usually probably more a tea. I would take a bath. Like I said, like when I'm starting to feel sick, I always take a bath. And then probably just like a lot of throat lozenges.
Okay. All right. Oh, the throat lozenges.
I know.
Bah.
They work.
Okay. So what I would recommend is it's a natural cough syrup. So it would be just honey. And apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
I know. And you can add some apple juice to it if you really like hate that. Like, I actually really like the taste of vinegar, so I don't mind it.
See? Weird.
We are different individuals. But anyway, you would do a quarter cup of honey, quarter cup of apple cider vinegar. And again, you can add something to it, like water
or a quarter cup, that's like a lot of quantity.
Well, so you would just put it in a jar, shake it up and seal it. And then you would take a tablespoon of it, tablespoon, like every couple of hours. And it does, I don't know why it works, but it works. And the reason it's one of my favorite things is, I don't know if you know, so cough medicine, like specifically cough medicine, is not allowed by the FDA, like for children below age of 3. And then even I think age like 4 to 6, it's only like as advised by a doctor.
And
so
why
like
is that?
I mean, it's not that great for you. So this is actually really good for kids. Again, you have to mask the taste of the vinegar in some way, and you could do that with a juice, like an apple juice. But every couple of hours, all you need is a tablespoon, and it really does work. I don't know why apple cider vinegar is so amazing, but it is.
And do the twins take it?
I have never had to give it to them. They've never – so I don't know that we've ever had kind of like an extreme case that I've given it to them. I've actually – to be honest, maybe I never thought to give it to them. But now maybe I will. Well, not, I don't want them to get sick.
No, no, no. Let's not
wish I'm not wishing that. Okay, so the other thing, and this is kind of a cough slash sore throat type of thing, is a saltwater gargle. I feel like you must have heard about that, right?
I have. Yeah, I remember when I was pregnant. I was having like a lot of throat and mouth issues. If there was a weird pregnancy symptom, I got it. So like I had mouth pain, and they recommended, it was so bizarre. So they recommended a saltwater gargle and it worked really well.
Oh, perfect. So you've tried that. So, what I would say is, and you'll have to tell me how you did it. It would just be like an 8 ounce glass of water, quarter teaspoon of salt. And the reason it works is because salt is astringent. So meaning it kind of like shrinks or constricts. So like if you've got that swelling in your throat, it will help shrink up the swelling, essentially. So that's why it works. Is that essentially what you did? Is just like...
Yeah, just a little bit. And then I think I made it really warm so that it obviously the salt would...
Yep, yep.
What is the word I'm looking for?
Dissolve.
Thank you. One of the things... It is a Wednesday, so which is... Mind is not all there. Yeah, so the salt would dissolve. I would just heat it up. I think I just did it in the microwave, and then I would gargle it. And then I did that for something else, too. There was, like, something else that was happening. I know when I was a kid, and we would lose a tooth, we would do saltwater gargles. Okay. And then...
oh, well, that would make sense, too. Yeah, like to
I used it for. But, I mean, salt has so many
anti-inflammatory properties. It has a ton of properties. Yep. So another one that I really love is vaporizing. Is it right? Vaporizing with essential oils. So different than like diffusing oils in your house. And this is like one that my family swears by too. And I just had my husband doing this like not a month ago. So you don't need anything special except eucalyptus oil. And eucalyptus oil is just like fantastic for decongestion. And it's one of the cheapest essential oils. So it's awesome to have on hand. So you boil a pot of water. And I kind of like to do like a big soup pot. Boil a pot of water. Not to the point that it's like crazy boiling, but enough for steam to be coming out.
Yeah.
You do some drops of eucalyptus oil in it. You put a towel over your head and you kind of like... This sounds dangerous, but like put your face over the pot and
once
like
it's not boiling.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah. Just little bit of steam. Yeah, you just need steam. That's all you need. And I mean, so basically, you do this for like 15 minutes or so, and then you go clear out whatever it dislodges. It's gross, but it works.
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to explain. Clear out whatever it dislodges.
Yeah, like it will dislodge like the mucus, like whether it's in your throat, in your nose, or whatever. And so you'll have to do it probably a few times. It's not like a kind of like a one-time cure-all, but you can do it over the course of a couple days a few times or whatever, and you just kind of like keep clearing out what's stuck in there.
Could you do that in a shower?
You could. I'm thinking of like where you could put the oil that it wouldn't disappear on you.
Like if you fill just like a small tiny bit of the bathtub and then let the shower run over it?
Probably.
I just wonder if that'd be a bit easier.
I bet you it would work in a for kids. Yeah, you could definitely do the oil in a big bath.
I think that would work really well because I do I do the steam baths for Claire all the time when she's
eucalyptus
sick.
Is amazing. And I know there's like a lot of oils out there that will have like a little mix of like for decongestion, it'll be like peppermint, spearmint, eucalyptus, but like eucalyptus is the one you want.
Does it smell good?
Yeah. It kind of has just like a minty, fresh kind of scent. So it smells good.
So added bonus, your house smells great.
Yes. And if you don't happen to have a diffuser and you actually, we talked about, you were saying at the beginning about kind of like preventative things, you can also just like let it fill your home.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So that's one I love, like for sure. And of course, you can diffuse it. Like, it's nice to have in the air. I know when Bill was sick, he did the thing with the breathing in over the pot, but then we also diffused eucalyptus. I have one that, again, has, like, a mix of oils, and we diffused it in our bedroom overnight.
And he felt so much better.
So much better.
There you go.
So much better. Okay, and I also want to talk about a hot toddy.
Oh, no. Because... You're going to tell me I shouldn't be drinking hot toddies, aren't you?
So...
Let me take a sip before you start.
I'm not going to ruin it. You can keep drinking it. So I want to give you, like, a little recipe of, like, a non-alcoholic hot toddy that that would actually be really good. And it's like, similar to what you've created, quite honestly. So chamomile tea, couple teaspoons of honey or tablespoons of honey, lemon, and then you can do optional things like ginger. You can do cinnamon, like with the cinnamon stick. But I would tell you that if you are actually sick, I would stay away from the alcohol. Because the alcohol increases mucus, it's also dehydrating, and you know when you're sick, the first thing they tell you is, like, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. So, hot toddies. You're saying
whiskey doesn't kill the germs.
I mean, maybe it kills some germs, but then it increases the mucus, and then you're dehydrated, and...
I'm gonna go with, hot toddy with a little bit of whiskey.
All right, fine. Fine. Oh, by the way, I do want to mention that we will make sure that you have links to kind of like all these little recipes that I'm mentioning. I'm sure many people are kind of in their car and doing other things and are not writing this down. So we'll make sure at crunchycocktailhour.com, these are all in the show notes, mm-hmm. so that you can quickly access the recipes if you want to try any of these.
And if you want an old Scottish preventative method of the apple cinnamon hot toddy, that'll be on silverwindandlined.com.
Perfect. Okay, so moving off of the cold, tell me what you do when you have a stomach ache.
Stomach ache, okay. So I have to say, I don't often deal with stomach aches. So what I'm going to do
is because you've removed, like, all the foods from your diet.
I don't eat anything that upsets my stomach, to be honest. Because, like, the only time I used to get stomach aches was if I ate way too much or if I had, like, a lot of greasy foods or a lot of cheese or things like that. And so I just don't have that problem. But I did – we're going to go back to when I was pregnant because I feel like that's when I was, like, no medicine.
That's when you were a hypochondriac.
No. Yes. But I also would deal with – nausea or things like that. Mm-hmm. So for a stomach ache, for me, is always ginger. So if I'm sick,
perfect.
I do a ginger tea with lemon. I do I'm a big soup person. Like, if I'm not feeling well, I'm gonna have soup.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it's just like a comfort from when I was little. My mom would make soup.
I don't know that it is. I mean, like, there's something to be said for kind of like warming up your insides and, like, I don't know.
Yep. And then I do the, I think they call it the Brat diet, which is like bread, rice.
Yep.
I don't know what the other ones stand for.
Applesauce.
Applesauce and?
Toast.
Nice.
It's on my list.
Is
You're
it?
Hitting some of my list.
Yay.
Okay. So awesome. So Brat's the first thing on my list. Bananas, rice, apples, or applesauce and toast. Do you know why you do that?
I just know they're easier in your stomach, right?
Yeah, so they're essentially really low fiber, and so you're not creating waste, and so your body's not working, right? So when you have a stomach ache, you don't want it to be, like, super processing anything, and so they're just – your body's not working super hard. Also, most of those things are, like, they don't have any kind of, like, spices, and spices essentially can, like, irritate your insides, right? Okay. The salts and the peppers and the whatever. So it's just, like, pretty even keel in terms of what you're putting in. So that's why that helps. And that's, like, awesome for adults, and it's awesome for kids. So it's
a great one to follow. I know we do that. After Claire would be sick, they'd tell us to do Brat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that always worked pretty well.
Look at you. And then my second one is ginger tea because it's anti-inflammatory. So I know some people will make, like, their own ginger water because you can really easily just, like, heat up water, put actual, like either shaved ginger or slices of ginger. I always have ginger tea at home because it helps with a stomach ache. It's actually something I drank a lot when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Works wonders.
It does work wonders.
If you have any kind of morning sickness, morning sickness that you can manage with food, try ginger tea. Oh, it is such a godsend.
Yeah.
What about ginger ale?
It's same thing. same thing. I mean, not only does – and okay, ginger ale is a tough one because you want to make sure that your ginger ale actually has ginger in it. Like the – I'm not going to like name a brand name, right? But like the one that you probably find just in the soda aisle usually has zero ginger in it. Now the bubbles might help you because seltzer in general can settle a stomach, but you probably want to go to like the health food aisle or the organic aisle or whatever and find like a ginger ale that actually has ginger in it.
And it's such a different taste.
It is.
I actually prefer that true ginger taste, like a good ginger beer.
Yeah.
It's not actually beer. It's just like
You know what I mean?
But it has that
fresh
ginger taste.
It's usually pink and not like yellow or green or whatever, like normal ginger ale that we see is. It is. It's so good. It's one of my favorite things when we go out of the country and like go to the Caribbean. They have real ginger ale and it's to die for.
Ginger ale was my big thing when I couldn't drink. Like, so all I talk about is when I'm pregnant.
What is this about all your pregnancy stuff?
Don't worry, I'm not pregnant. But I would just like have constant ginger beer. I'd have a Moscow Mule without the alcohol in it with ginger beer. It was delicious. And because it soothes your stomach and you don't feel like such a loser because everybody else is having a delicious cocktail. And
there you go. Yeah, I like it in my cocktails for sure. Because like the ginger ale and like vodka or ginger ale and rum when on vacation.
Vodka. Yeah. Vodka from the Russian. Shocked.
It's shocking.
Breaking all the stereotypes over here.
Yeah. So the last one that you can totally add to your arsenal, and I think that you would be willing to, is peppermint pills.
Oh.
So you can actually buy like – I mean, they're kind of like horse-sized pills. And so like if you're not like a good pill swallower, it might not be good for you. But whenever – like if I want like something quick or like I'm about to go to bed and my stomach's a little bit off, I'll do like 2 peppermint pills. I don't know why it works, to be honest. I don't know where I heard about it, but there's something about, like, it almost, like, you know when you, like, eat something with a peppermint flavor, it's, like, cooling?
Yeah.
It almost feels that way in your insides. Like, it's just, like, this cooling feeling, and it settles your stomach.
So I wonder if, like, a peppermint tea or even just a peppermint candy would do the same.
Yeah, it probably would. Oh, it probably would. So that's, like, a quick one. Yeah, you can find them in anywhere you find vitamins, you can find peppermint pills. You just want to make sure that, like, all you're getting in it is peppermint.
Yes.
And not
at the added
whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, I like that one. All right, I'm adding that to my arsenal.
Okay, so this is a really important one.
Okay, go.
Hangovers.
Oh, boy.
What do you do for hangovers?
What do I do for hangover? So, my go-to had always been, like, greasy food.
I thought you were going to give me an example from when you were pregnant.
Oddly, no. I didn't have many hangovers when I was pregnant. Do not drink when pregnant. Disclaimer.
Warning.
No, so like my big go-to was like pop 2 aspirin before you go to bed.
Okay.
Drink like way too much water.
Yeah.
And then have like a burger at brunch.
Yeah. I mean, greasy food is always amazing. It's funny, the 2 aspirin thing, I have like a college story in that my good friend and I, like whenever we'd go out to drink, we would always make sure we like pop these aspirin before we would go to bed. And like clockwork, every morning we would get sick and throw up until we realized it was the cheap like aspirin that was making us sick. So like
you were trying to feel better and made it worse.
It was, we were like, oh, and here's like something for the morning. Like terrible.
Sorry, sober me.
Okay. So here are all my little tips for hangovers.
Okay.
So bananas by themselves or bananas with honey. You're making a face. You're making a face.
I can't have bananas.
I know. You can't have bananas now. You can have the honey part. Eventually, you can probably you'll have bananas.
What is it with bananas?
So they soothe your stomach. They're, like, pretty bland. They help replenish your potassium, which, like, quite frankly, you're, like, peeing out in droves when you're drinking and you're going to the bathroom a ton. And honey helps increase your blood sugar.
Interesting.
So some people just say like just bananas. I like the combination of the two.
And it would taste good.
It would taste good.
Peanut butter, banana.
Yeah, and some people like – and it depends like how you're really feeling in the morning. Some people will even say like add milk and make a smoothie because the milk will just help hydrate you a little bit. But I know if I'm hungover in the morning, I'm not drinking milk.
No,
I'm not having a smoothie. So
Just have a banana with honey.
Just have a banana with honey, or have a banana, or have some honey if you can't have a banana like you. Who can't have a banana?
I know. Claire's allergic to bananas, in case you missed the last episode. So I'm still nursing, and I cannot eat bananas.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to ask. You go. Go
okay, ahead, so ginger tea and ginger ale comes back to this one. So, like, ginger tea and ginger ale are both really good for, like, nausea and seasickness and stuff, and hangover is kind of like a seasickness. So either of those, like in any of the forms that we talked about, like in a tea or with ginger slices or the ginger ale with the real ginger, those are all great.
Nice. Oh, I remembered.
Okay.
Pedialyte.
So I haven't looked at the ingredients of Pedialyte before. I mean, obviously electrolytes are fantastic, but usually Pedialyte is like colored with flavors with
dye-free, flavor-free. That's what we
can really mm-hmm. So it just, what does it taste like?
It tastes, does a it little have bit like a salty water.
Okay, that's so if it. It's just like electrolyte water, yeah, of course that oh, would nice. Be fantastic for it. Yeah. Eat your, have your baby's Pedialyte.
That doesn't sound
so
at all.
Just chug it.
I'm hungover, sorry Claire. This is for me.
So the other big thing I have for hangovers is activated charcoal. So, and you can get them in a pill.
Not in the toothpaste?
Like no. So I brush my teeth, like sometimes I use an activated charcoal, like polish, not every day. So Allison's making fun of me. But so activated charcoal, for those of you who don't know, it's not like like a charcoal from your grill. It's treated to remove chemicals, and it's kind of like made in a way that almost makes it like, I don't know if like porous is the right word, but essentially activated charcoal kind of like sucks in and like binds with toxins. Hmm. So it helps, like when you ingest it, it is trying to like pull all the stuff that's not supposed to be in your body to it.
Okay.
And like let it leave your system.
Interesting.
So.
And it's in a pill form?
Yeah, you can get it in a pill form. So with drinking, once you start consuming alcohol, that's like, that's going to go through your body really, really quickly. So in my opinion, from the research that I've done, you need to take it before you drink. So I would say like at least an hour before you start drinking.
Anticipate drinking too much.
Anticipate. So studies have shown that it decreases your blood alcohol levels. Please don't use this as a way to drink and drive. Please.
Do people do that?
I don't know. But yeah, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking like, don't do that. But part of it too is, again, like alcohol moves through your system really quickly. And so there's no way it's like sucking up all the alcohol. But if you think about it, it might be sucking up impurities in whatever it is that you're drinking. So like you might be having like a mixed drink with like a bunch of garbage in it. It might suck up some of that stuff. Or like wine naturally has sulfites in it from the processing. It will suck that stuff up.
My mom's been having trouble with wine.
Yes.
That has sulfates in it. I should recommend that.
Because you need that preservative in it in order for the wine to stay fresh and all of that. So
fascinating.
It helps.
Yeah.
It helps. But it definitely beforehand. And you have to almost kind of like play with it a little bit to see if you need one, to see if you need two. It might also recommend something on the packaging of the activated charcoal that you get.
So where do you get it?
I think you can find it at like a grocery store that has a health food section.
Okay.
Probably where the vitamins are. I think I've always like bought an Amazon for things like that, but it's not difficult to find.
Adding it to the medicine cabinet.
There you go. There you go.
My phone.
You can also use it like totally sideline. If you like, I am not used to having like super heavy meals anymore. And like every once in a while you're like, I want some terrible Mexican food. If you're also about to go have like a crappy meal, you can also take it before your crappy meal.
So if I'm going to have that burger when I'm hungover, the charcoal would be like wham, bam, both.
Some people do actually say like they take the activated charcoal before and they actually take it at the end of the night. I don't know what it's going to do for you at the end of the night, because I feel like most of the stuff that's like bad is like it's moving through your system pretty
and if
quickly.
If I'm going to have a hangover, I'm not going to remember to take activated charcoal
also that.
Before I go to bed.
Oh, I'm only going to remember to take the bad aspirin. So What the one really, really big warning I will say for activated charcoal is, because it pulls things out of the things you're consuming, if you are taking a significant medication, do not take it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I don't know how to tell you what a significant medication is. I would say that, like
anything prescribed.
Yeah, like anything prescribed or even anything like, I mean, I guess this would fall into prescribed, but if like your doctor has you on some regimen of something that's over the counter, essentially, if you take any kind of what you would do, medicine,
yeah.
I would run it by your doctor to see if that's, it's okay for you to take because I know that there have also been studies where like it's basically flushing the medicine that you took out of your system. It's powerful. It's really super powerful. So you do not want to do that, obviously.
And then what about the natural hangover cure of hair of the dog? Recommended?
It depends what it is. I would say like a Bloody Mary, totally.
Oh God, don't get me started. So one drink you will not hear on this show is a Bloody Mary. I do not like.
She makes me drink all these things I don't want to drink, and she's not going to make me a Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary is soup. It is not a drink.
No, because I like my Bloody Mary like a meal. Like, and I know I'm eating my diet that I eat right now, but like, I want a chicken finger in it. I want a piece of bologna, a piece of bacon, 15 shrimp, some celery. A piece of
pizza, like Megan was telling us about that one place.
Piece of pizza. Like, I want it to be a meal, and I want to just, like, repeatedly dip things in it.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's a meal. It's not soup at all.
Get, like, chicken fingers and get ketchup.
No. I'm not going to put alcohol in my ketchup. That's weird.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Not that you have like 17 appetizers on top of your beverage.
No, that's not weird.
Mimosa over here.
By the way, I am constantly on the hunt for the perfect Bloody Mary, and it doesn't exist. I'm convinced
that what's perfect?
Like, I want like a really huge loaded Bloody Mary. First of all, no mix. Like, I want you to like put it together with the spices, with like
the Worcester sauce.
I do, but like you see me here and I don't like to build my own drink. I make you do it.
So I'm
just constantly looking for like that Bloody Mary that's a meal that's made fresh and it's delicious because chicken fingers are fresh. And I feel like every time I see a picture of like a really awesome Bloody Mary, it's in Texas or something. So
do we need to go on a fact-finding mission
in
Texas?
Yes, right after the Hot Toddy Bar Tour.
Our Hot Toddy Bar Tour, Margarita Tour in Texas.
Oh, and Bloody Mary Tour in the morning.
Wait, did I say Hot Toddy?
Yeah, Hot Toddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hot Toddy Bar Tour, then Margarita, then Bloody Mary.
This is becoming a very expensive endeavor.
We're turning into our younger selves again.
I love that. That sounds great.
Okay, tell me
that
what
was, like,
you
a fun
do.
Little sidetrack.
It was. Tell me what you do for heartburn.
All right, another shocker. Guess that the only time I've had heartburn is...
Oh, you and your perfect health.
I've only ever had it while pregnant. So, again, like, especially right now, I don't eat a lot of things that are going to give me heartburn, and I didn't really experience it until I was pregnant. Oh, it is awful. For people that experience that on a regular basis, that is awful. It feels awful. And so
what if you really liked your meal and you just keep tasting it every couple of hours afterwards?
Oh my God.
No, you don't want to taste that?
No, that sounds terrible.
Okay, just checking.
What did I do for heartburn when I was pregnant? I did milk. I drank milk.
Okay.
That helped.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
just acting things out that make no sense. She's saying nothing, but she's motioning. I think she's trying to say it's, like, soothing.
It's soothing. That's the word I was looking for. Sometimes I have to mime things in there so I can figure out the word I mean. But that's all I really can remember doing other than, like, figuring out what it was that made me feel that way and not eating that thing.
Okay. So, not that it's a problem for you, but for anybody that might be listening, one really, really simple thing is apples.
Oh.
And you want it to be like a red apple of some sort. So essentially like a sweet apple because the kind of like Granny Smiths of the world are super acidic. So you don't want that. But apples naturally contain pectin, which is a soluble fiber. And it's basically good for absorbing stomach acid. So the simplest thing that you always have in your fridge is really fantastic for it.
Do you store apples in your fridge?
Yeah.
Is that... Wait. We have to delve into this. Where do you put Aren't they supposed to be stored in, like, the pantry?
Why?
I don't know.
I like my apples cold. Is that weird?
I feel like this is weird. I think we need to look into this. Is this a thing?
I don't know. I've never stored them anywhere but in the fridge.
We store them in the fruit basket on the counter.
Huh. Okay, maybe we need to do some kind of experiment and, one, see, like, about taste and see how long they last.
Okay, these were counter apples.
They taste perfectly fine, but I have never not put my apples in the fridge.
Okay, now we
have... I don't know why I do it, but I thought that's where they go.
We have to look into this.
Let's look into this. So, anyway,
apples cure heartburn.
Apples. The other thing is baking soda. Which is a kind of like a natural antacid. So you could do like just a teaspoon of baking soda in a full glass of water. And like you'll even find like, what is it called? Like baking soda is essentially like sodium bicarbonate, which you'll find like in the like antacid pills people pop. But the only thing I will tell you about that is like you should use that sparingly. It's super high in salt. It's not like that good if you're having it all the time. Like if you're having heartburn all the time, you should probably go see a doctor anyway. But it's kind of like one of those like once in a while type of remedies, but it will help and it will work. So those are the ones that I wanted to talk through. Like it sounds like A, you do some of those, and B, you might try some of those.
Oh, for sure. I think activated charcoal I'm going to look into.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially for my mom.
Will you brush your teeth with it?
So I think I'll absolutely look into it for the pill form. I don't know. It looks so weird. You have to put a picture of yourself doing it in the show. It's so funny.
When I got the activated charcoal toothpaste stuff or the polish, because it's not like an everyday thing. You use it for a small amount of time. I brushed my teeth with it. I looked like the Joker. I walked out from the bathroom into our bedroom and just smiled at my husband. I was so terrifying. And he just goes, "Your weirdest thing yet."
And that's saying something,
folks. Totally.
And that's saying something.
So
these were fun.
Yeah. And maybe we'll kind of like do an add-on to this episode because I'm sure I can think of like more random things that I do. I can start to jot them down as I do them. And I think these are like the medicinal ones too. I think it'd be cool to do like beauty hack type of things with remedies, or household ones. Like we can definitely look into doing that. But I think my whole purpose with it is like, you know, like don't be afraid to try something at home. If it's like a common cold, you're probably not getting anything for it. You're going to get something over the counter. Try something that you already have at home. Like you don't have to buy something new and like see if it works. Maybe it does for you.
Yeah. And try it before it gets worse.
I mean,
if nothing else, it might prevent it from turning into something full blown. Like, especially if you have a cold.
Definitely.
You don't want to get strep or bronchitis or whatever it might turn into. Just give it a go.
For sure. But again, do know when you need to go to the doctor. Like, do not kind of over-index on things at home when you – and I think you know when you really need to go. And I am clearly always on the hunt for, like, new remedies. So if there's something that you guys do, please tell us about it. I'm so curious. You can leave comments on the show notes at crunchycocktailhour.com. You can email us at hello@crunchycocktailhour.com. If you share it with me, I will probably try it. Allison won't.
I might.
But I will.
But also, can you please let us know where you store your apples?
Yeah.
Like, I have to. I almost think we need a poll. Do you store your apples in the fridge or like on the counter in the pantry, like somewhere room temperature?
I want to win. And I don't know why I do it.
But I don't think the apples in the fridge
are soon as we stop recording, we're Googling this. Like, where are you supposed to store your apples?
I know, I'm so curious. Maybe because I grew up in Canada, we kept them on the counter because it was cold anyway.
You're bizarre.
All right, we will get to the bottom of this.
Okay, for sure. Fair.
So definitely check out the show notes. Everything that we've talked about in this episode will be on crunchycocktailhour.com. And if you like what you hear, please hit subscribe. And we'd also really love it if you leave a review. We're a new podcast, and we want to make sure that we're giving people things they want to hear.
Yeah, so absolutely. And if there's topics you want to hear about, let us know. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.